To another message from God's Word. In our last class, we studied about a case of unscriptural baptism. And we have a character there, a very famous early Christian man by the name of Apollos. Do you remember what the word Apollos means? Apollos? It comes from the same word Apollyon, which means destroyer. In other words, a powerful powerful man. Now, Apollos was raised in Alexandria, Egypt. He was a Greek speaking Hellenistic Jew, what we call a Hellenistic Jew. And somehow he heard the preaching of John, probably one of John's disciples. You know, when John's disciples and Jesus' disciples, they had conflicts, didn't they? Remember that? They had conflicts. And John's disciples came to John one time and they said, John, that one you baptized over there by Jordan, he said he's making more disciples than you are. And he said, yes, I must decrease, he must increase. Remember, he was the one, behold, he is the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He said, I'm finished. I did my job. Well, some of John's disciples, historically, went on and they were baptizing people also. Except the Lord Jesus Christ called out his church. And when he called out his church, he gave them the authority to baptize. Jesus didn't baptize anybody, did he? No one. But his church, his disciples baptized people. And Jesus in Matthew 16 and 18, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, he said in Matthew 16, 18, he said, you're Peter, a little stone, but upon this gigantic foundational rock I'll be building my church, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. And Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, after you've been cast out, make disciples, and then you baptize the disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to guard with their lives all things that I have given unto you, are handed down unto you, and lo, I'll be with you unto the end of the world. Well, many of the people that John's disciples preached to did believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were baptized. But John's disciples had no authority to baptize. The authority to baptize came through the churches. Now, here we have a little further case of this. We have two disciples that talked to Apollos and told him a little bit more about the ways of the Lord. And he went on and he preached. And now in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, we continue on with the story of unscriptural baptism. Apollos did not have scriptural baptism. The people that Apollos was baptizing did not have scriptural baptism. They believed and they were saved, but they did not know anything about the Holy Spirit that came upon the church there at Pentecost in the second chapter of Pentecost, or in the second chapter, there at Jerusalem in the second chapter of Acts, that is. And they had never received the Comforter. And the Comforter carried with it the power to carry the gospel. They could speak in languages where no one knew. Where they did not know that, that people could hear them speaking in their own language and understand it. There was the gift of apostles and prophets and evangelists, teachers, all of this. These were inspired people. And that inspiration only came through the churches as they built other churches, of course. Peter went down to Caesarea. There at Cornelius' household, Cornelius was a Gentile. They were saved, and they believed, and they spoke in languages like they did there at Pentecost. They had this gift of speaking in these other languages. They were known languages of real dialects and real grammars, etc. It was not an unknown language. It was a language. And then Peter says, can we, anyone forbid water that we might baptize these? And he asked for a vote from the church that had sent that arm down there, and representatives of the churches were there, and they baptized them. And Paul reported back to Jerusalem, and then the other church has sent him out. And now here we have a man that's been preaching the Word of God, preaching the truth, except he didn't know what the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was, period. He didn't know anything about it. And he didn't have the, what we might call the authority to baptize, nor to be baptized. Let's go on now, 19 and 1, it says here in the Greek, Egeneto de ento ton Apollo. Ene en Corintho, Paulon de elthonta, ta ana terica. Mary elthane eis Ephesoon, kai uren, tines mathetes. And it says, and then Paul, or then Paulus, he was in the Corinth, and Paul, having passed through that upper territory of the regions to come into Ephesus, and they found some disciples there. Now, people had been believing, they had been being baptized, and these disciples had a problem. They had unscriptural baptism, as if they had none. They were not part of any New Testament church, nor were they given the authority to build a church, as Peter was given the authority to build the church in Caesarea, and then Paul went around establishing churches. Now he says here in 19 and verse 2, a pante pros autos, e numa hagion, elevete, pision saltes, hoi de pros auton, all ud, e numa hagion, esten acusamen. And he said to them, since you believed, did you receive the Holy Spirit? After you have having believed. And the ones said to Paul, we haven't even heard of whether there is a Holy Spirit or not. We haven't heard anything about this. Let's read these two verses here in the Amplified Bible. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul went to the upper inland districts and came down to Ephesus, and there he found some disciples. This actually is a church down there, but they didn't know anything about being a church, but they're disciples. And he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed on Jesus Christ as Christ? And they said, no, we did not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. All right, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. They didn't know anything about this gift at all. Verse 19 and verse 3. Ho de epain, eis ti un ebaptestete, hoi de epon, eis to wanon baptisma. And then one said, under what authority were you baptized? Under what authority were you baptized? And the ones, they said, under John's baptism. John's baptism. We had authority from John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist never had authority, had the authority to give it to anybody else. His disciples took that upon themselves. And they went out and they started baptizing people after John was executed. Now verse number 4 says, Epein de Paulos Ioannes, ebaptisthein baptisma metanois, to lao legon, eston erkemenon, meth auton, hina pisioosun, taut esten, es ton eson. And Paul, he said, John, he baptized with a baptism of repentance to the people. All of those people that were coming to him, what was John's job? You remember what John's job was? John the Baptist's job. He was supposed to prepare the people for Christ that was coming. He wasn't going to continue. His ministry was not going to continue. His ministry was fulfilled when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world," and then he baptized him and it's done. He said, "He must increase, I must decrease. I'm not worthy to untie or lace his shoes or sandals." Baptism by those disciples of John's was not scriptural. They may have preached the right doctrine of baptism, but they preached, repent and believe in Jesus Christ. And they did that. But they had no authority to baptize those people, nor did they have authority to give others to baptize those people. John gave no one authority to baptize. And Paul, he said that John baptized with the baptism of repentance to the people, saying, "There is one coming after him in order that they might believe. And this one is the Jesus and the Christ." That's what they believed. That's what John preached. And when Christ came, follow him, follow him, follow him. John kept on preaching until he was basically imprisoned and then executed. He was probably even preaching in prison, because we know that Herod liked to go listen to him, and Herod went to the prison and listened to John preach. He condemned him, but he wanted to hear him preach. He believed he was a prophet of God. 19 and verse 5 now. Acusantes de epistha saison eis to onoma tu Kyrio Jesus. And having heard this, they were all baptized. And how? What form of baptism did they use? There was only one form of baptism back in there, wasn't it?
Immersion.
Okay, immersion. Okay, now up here on our little whiteboard, over here to my side, we have nepto. Nepto means what? That means to pour water on somebody. That means to pour. Now, if the Lord wanted us to be water poured on us, he would have said he would have used the word nepto. Then we have another word, rontizo. And that rontizo means to sprinkle. If he'd have wanted us to sprinkle water on somebody for them to be sprinkled, he would have told us and used that word. But he used the word baptizo, which means to immerse, dip. The Latin word mergio, our word immersion, comes right out of the word mergio. All right. They were all baptized by the authority of the onoma there. If you go back to Matthew 28, Matthew the 28th chapter, if I can find it here in this here book. Matthew, the 28th chapter. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore," now I'm going to change this a little bit, "after you have gone out, you make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name," and that word name there, it is onoma, just like it is over here in this book, in the book of Acts, "in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to guard with their lives all things that I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you all the days until the end of the age." All the days until the end of the age. By the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who did Jesus give authority to carry out the gospel? his church.
That's right.
He gave. Now, let's go back and look at this. This is very important. Jesus had the authority. He said, all power, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. I have it. And I'm going to pass authority to you to baptize people. And did the church ever, before the Great Commission, did the church ever have a commission before? Remember that he sent disciples out and they baptized people and they preached the gospel in all the cities. And Jesus told them to go out. That's what we call the limited commission. They went out and preached and they baptized people. They had the authority to do it. Jesus never baptized himself one person. And again, baptism was not a new thing. The Jews had been practicing baptism, they say, all the way back to the time of Abraham. Before they even made a sacrifice, before they even offered a sacrifice, they baptized that sacrifice. They dipped it in what we call the bithmas all around Jerusalem. All around Jerusalem, there were places, there were pools where they dipped people. They baptized them. So they were all baptized in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19 and verse 6 now. Kai epithantes autos tu palo, keres elthe to pneuma to hagion, f autos elalun te glacias kai epiphrotuon. And having laid his hands upon them, he came, the Holy Spirit, upon them. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And they kept on speaking in several languages. Several languages. Not one, but several languages. What?
It says tongues here.
It's languages, the glossias. Several languages. Several languages, and they kept on prophesying. In the church was a gift of prophecy, in the church was a gift of languages, in the church was a gift of apostles. The first gift placed in the church was what?
Disciples.
The first gift, apostles. All right. Now the church was already in existence when Jesus was on the earth walking with it and calling it out. The word ecclesia means one's called out. So now here, these people were scripturally baptized now, and Paul laid his hands upon them and transferred upon them the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse number 7 now, Eson de hoi pontes andres hose didoke. And there kept on being about all these ones, these men, about 12. Let's go back and read this whole thing again now. This case of unscriptural baptism that is corrected in the Bible. A case of unscriptural baptism and it is corrected. Apollos preached the gospel. Apollos witnessed the salvation of many people and he baptized them. But he baptized them without authority. Apollos never had the authority to baptize and never had the gift of the Holy Spirit until that time. Now the gift of the Holy Spirit is still in God's true New Testament churches. And I'm not talking about talking in tongues. I'm talking about now that he will lead us into all truth. Because we do have the Bible. The word of God was preached throughout the world. And then it says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul went through the upper inland districts and came down to Ephesus. And remember there, there were the two disciples that preached unto him. Remember that? And they showed him a more perfect way, it is said. Priscilla and Aquila. Remember that? Priscilla and Aquila. Aquila was what? Aquila's name means eagle. And Priscilla means what?
Honorable and venerable.
Okay. And they were a couple that preached the gospel together. And they heard Apollos preaching, and he was not preaching exactly what they had known about. And, of course, Priscilla and Aquila were members of New Testament churches. Well, he went on and he preached some more. But he's going to learn a little bit as he goes, Apollos is. He's going to be a great man of God and a great preacher when he finally gets his all of his marbles in a row, or all of his ducks in a row. And there he found some disciples. And he asked them, "Do you not receive the Holy Spirit when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ?" And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he asked, "By what authority were you baptized?" By what authority were you baptized? And they said, "Under John's baptism." Did John have any baptism? Did John have the authority to hand baptism on to any others? No. And Paul said, "John baptized in reference to a baptism of repentance, and continually telling the people that they should believe in the one who was to come after him." Not John, but the one who was to come after him. That is, Jesus, having conviction, full of joyful trust, and that he is Christ, the Messiah, and being obedient to him, not to John. On hearing this, they were baptized again. Well, actually, they were dipped before, but now they're going to be baptized again, but they're going to be baptized correctly this time by the right authority. In the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul laid his hands upon them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in other languages, in several other foreign languages. And they prophesied. And what is what? Now, they proved that they had received the Holy Spirit. They did these things like the other churches did, as wherever they went. And then they prophesied. Now, what is prophesying? What is prophesying? Is the New Testament, is it prophecy? Is the New Testament prophecy? The New Testament is a history of fulfilled prophecy, and there's prophecy yet to come. The book of Revelation, even the book of Ezekiel and Daniel in the Old Testament, and many others, the Psalms, all tell us about another coming, another time in history, when there will be a great, terrible ordeal come upon the world. And that's prophecy. And some of these disciples prophesied in different areas. They did not have a New Testament, so God prophesied, spoke through these people, until they received the complete Bible. On hearing this, they were baptized again, this time with authority, in the name or the authority of the Lord Jesus. Verse number 6 says, "And as Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in different other languages, and they prophesied. And there were about 12 of them in all." In this little church now that had now become a real scriptural church. Now today we have a lot of churches out there that never heard what I've said tonight. A lot of people out there will think this great mysterious secret theology or something. It's not secret theology, it's all through the New Testament. Baptism is very important. Scriptural baptism is very important. What is scriptural baptism? Well, in the first place, it's immersion, isn't it? You're dipping. You're dipping somebody, and they're dying to their old selves and raised up in newness of life. It is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you can't do that by sprinkling somebody. You can't do that by pouring water on somebody. Sprinkling and pouring came along a lot later. The early church didn't know anything about it at all. People, after Constantine, the Emperor Constantine, and the first apostle, the first pope of the Catholic Church, basically, he was called the Apostle of God, and even though he wasn't declared a pope, but as the pope would become the Holy Pontifex, Pontifex Maximus, he was the first one of them, Pontifex Maximus. That was Constantine. Now, the Catholic Church tries to trace itself back before Constantine, but all from before Constantine, it's all Baptist churches. And everybody was baptized by immersion. Henry VIII was baptized by immersion. By the time King James came along, the Church of England had begun to pour and sprinkle. It's what we call effusion, something different than baptism. When the King James Bible was translated, they had a little council, and they came to King James and they said, Prince, we got a problem. We've come to this word, baptizo, and we don't know what to do. If we translate it correctly, it's going to say John the Immerser or John the Dipper, and it's going to say immerse them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He said, we don't do that. We don't immerse. And they said, yeah, but if we translate it correctly, they're going to know the Baptists are correct. Now, the other force that King James was fighting, the Baptists and the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church was met by now. It was also sprinkling and pouring. But they said, if people see that we are baptizing by the wrong form or mode, then they will know those Baptists are right. And he said, well, don't translate the word. Just transliterate it. Just say baptize. It should say immerse. It should say dip. Now, here we have a new little church established with 12 people in it. How many people does it take to make up a church?
Two or three.
Two or three. Thank you, Marilyn. Yeah. Two or three. Right here tonight, we got three. We got a little more than enough, huh? One more than enough. Well, here we see this. And, of course, in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, we have what we call the charismatic movement starting, where they speak in tongues to prove that they're saved, etc. But the languages they speak in are not the biblical languages. It is an unknown language. And many times, evil spirits work with people. And we're going to talk about going from Christianity to witchcraft in the next set of verses. Going from Christianity or from witchcraft into Christianity. From Acts, the 16th chapter and verse 16 here a while back, I did a message and telling what the gift of languages was there, and that girl, that damsel in distress there in Acts the 16th chapter, had the gift of languages. But the gift of languages, as paganism was, is basically similar to the gift of languages or tongues today. The biblical gift of tongues was always the ability to go someplace and speak to them without knowing that language. The King James Bible was translated, and when it talked about these, if you'll look in it, it'll say unknown tongues. And from that, we have people taking off to these unknown tongues. The only unknown tongues in the early Bible days and all the way back to the book of Kings, there where the prophets of Baal were on Mount Carmel, that great contest took place. I remember going by there and looking up there on that mountain. There's where a contest took, and those prophets of Baal were speaking in unknown languages. They went into an ecstasy. This girl, when she would prophesy, she would go into this ecstatic, and then her people would have the gift of so-called interpreting what she was saying, and she was a fortune teller. Now today we have in churches, we have this same thing going on today, but it didn't come from the Bible. Many of them are saved. Absolutely, I believe that. But like Apollos, they're off on the wrong trail. They will never really know the real gift of the Holy Spirit that leads you into all truth. They will never know that without coming to God's churches and being scripturally baptized and learning the truth of God's Word. A case of unscriptural baptism, and God corrected it through the Apostle Paul, and these people really received the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is in that guidance and gift of the Holy Spirit is still in God's New Testament churches today. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your words. Thank you so much for making it clear in our minds. And Father, I pray for this message to go out, that it will touch people's lives, that they will learn from it, and they will follow you and seek your word. Please, Father, I pray for all of those out there that need you. I pray for our students from all over, from Pennsylvania and the Callan brothers in Alabama, all the way from Wales and Australia and New Zealand, the Philippines, India, China, Japan, Germany, France, all through Europe, Russia, even in the Middle East, where people listen every day to your word on the website. I pray for all of them. I pray for Christine's grandson. I pray that you just touch his little life and bring him whole one of these days. Help him to run and play like other little children and be in his home.